welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Good morning. I hope everyone's having a great day so far. This is Jessica from the podcast, and I'm so glad to be with you for another episode of Extraordinary Moms Podcast. Today I have a really practical and interesting episode for you because I'm speaking with Becky, who is the face behind the amazing Instagram and housekeeping site Clean Mama. And I don't know about you, but as a mom with little ones, I just really struggle to keep my house clean. And I mean, I know there's a difference between tidy and clean, and when things and toys are just all over the place, it's hard to get your house truly clean when there's kids messing it up all the time. And Becky prides herself on having great technique, great structure, systems in place so that she's able to maintain a clean and happy home. We're going to talk about her motherhood journey. We're going to talk about how she built this business. She's an author as well. And she's going to talk about how by dedicating 10 to 30 minutes every day, manageable cycle of cleaning your home and keeping it a space that feels good to live in. So I'm really excited to share with you my conversation with Becky today. Let's get to it. All right. I want to welcome Becky Rapidcheck today. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Jessica.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. Well, before we started recording, I confessed to you that my house is a mess, and I was glad to hear that you said that yours is too. So we're all in this together.
Definitely.
This is the
it's
best.
One of those weeks.
Yeah. No, and I think it does come in waves, right? It's like it just snowballs really quick. And sometimes you do a good job, the systems are working, and then all of a sudden you look around and you're like, where did all this laundry come from? Where are all these dishes from? Like, how many people live here?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I am super excited to talk with you because since I found your Instagram, Clean Mama, it has really helped me to break down the barrier of how do I get my house clean, but not to the point where it's like unmanageable and I have to like dedicate a whole Saturday to like spotlessly cleaning my house, but breaking it down into chunks so I can actionably tackle home tasks in a way that's not going to ruin my life. So thank you.
Yay. That's the goal.
and I know that's your goal. I know that's your goal. And I think it's a perfect fit for moms. So I just want to hear for people that may not know you, will you just give a little background on yourself, Becky?
Sure. I'm a naturally clean person. So Clean Mama was kind of the, like my husband's nickname for me.
Uh-huh. Okay. I like that.
But I originally was an art teacher and I taught for 10 years, and did a lot of, cleaning mm-hmm. my classroom and, helping students remove stains. I would send them home with little notes, like if they got paint on their art shirt or something, I'd send them home with a note for their parents for how to launder
how nice.
That stain. And being an art teacher really honed my skills for cleaning quickly and keeping things organized while still having fun, because that's kind of what, in order to function for me as an art teacher with over 600 students, every week that I would see, I needed to have a system and an order, and it needed to be well thought out and a good process, but I didn't want the kids to come in and not create something. So I feel like I've taken those little tidbits with me and applied that to actually taking care of a home.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that you're thinking it from a vantage point of you can get messy and don't let the mess be the barrier to living life or creating art.
Exactly.
Don't let that mess be the barrier. I like that. Because sometimes I feel like, ooh, do we do glitter at home? No, we'll just leave that at preschool. Or, ooh, do we really want to get out the Play-Doh on the carpet? But I mean, really, is it really that big of a deal? Or is there really not a solution to clean it up after? And your answer is no. You can like figure out ways to work with it. Okay. So how many kids do you have? And tell me a little bit about your family.
Yep. We have three kids, 11, Our daughter is 11. She's the oldest, and then our middle son is 9, and then our youngest son is 5.
Okay.
So
you have some mess makers in there. Yeah. That's great.
2 are in school full time, and then the 5-year-old is still in preschool. So he's there 3 mornings a week, mm-hmm. and the rest of the time he's with me. For my dream has always been to be a mom, and I did not want to be an entrepreneur. I did not even want to be a teacher. All I've ever really wanted to be was a mom. So that was, yeah. Now, there's days where I would, you know, definitely take, I've had babysitters or, you know, a mom's helper, things like that too. So it's, I've worked around that, but
yeah.
That's kind of that part of my background. Like I said, I was a teacher, but I've done lots and lots of jobs. I've always had like 2 or 3 jobs going at one.
I'm the same way, Becky. I'm the same way.
But that was before kids.
Yeah. Okay. And so that leads me to the question of, so when you did have kids, how did adding a little being that depends on you 24/7 and drains your energy and drains your sleep and affects your schedule, how did that impact the way that you were able to approach your go, 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 do, produce lifestyle?
Right. Well, and it turned it on its head.
Sure.
For sure. And I taught for a while when my daughter was a baby. And so I was teaching full time, and she was at daycare, and then trying to figure out, I was exhausted. All I wanted to do was just play with her when I came home from school. But the house, like, still had to, I mean,
yeah,
at that point, function. She's crawling and walking, and, like, you can't just leave things strewn from one end of the house to the other.
Right.
And laundry needs to be done. So that was kind of when I started kind of honing in on, I can't clean all day on Saturday because she can't sit in a yeah. jungle gym or, like,
right.
play pen all day. That's not going to work. How in the world am I going to get all these things done that need to be done and do the bare minimum, but still work and play with her? I mean, it was just, I felt like so torn. And that was when I started to figure out a cleaning routine. Now she's 11 years old. So this is long before
sure.
I ever started my website. And I actually cleaned houses.
Oh, in the middle of all that.
fellow teachers too. So,
wow.
And that was before kids. So I would go and clean their houses, and they come home and their houses would be all clean. And so that was really fun. I enjoyed it. It was therapy for me. And, but I was single and,
yeah.
you know, going home to a townhouse with other friends. So it was different, but, that was when I kind of was like, how do you keep up with all these things? And then, shortly before she was a year old, I was able to, quit. And then I was just a stay at home mom. I didn't have anything else going on. For about 2 years, and in that time, we had another baby, and so then things started getting interesting. But what I found was that I was actually less productive
yes.
when I had all this time, just where I was just playing with them. I mean, I wasn't able to get the things done because I didn't have like a focus or something that I needed, like a task to do,
sure.
and so that was where I started to develop the actual routine where I said on Mondays, I'm going to clean bathrooms, on Tuesdays, I'm going to dust. And then I tweaked it from there to try to figure out what would work best. So as soon as I thought that it was working really well, then I went back to work.
Yeah.
And then I had to tweak it again because it, you know, it was still like not as manageable. So as I wanted it to be. So I, and that was like right around 2009. So my youngest was 2
mm-hmm.
at that point. It was that he was our middle child. And so he was 2 and I started, I actually ended up working like a night shift at Target. And then I went back. So that was part-time, but then I was blogging all this time and I had my business.
Wow.
And then I took a, like more than full-time job where I traveled as an admissions counselor. And I did that for 3 years.
Oh my gosh, Becky, you and I are so similar. I actually work for the University of Michigan in admissions right now. I do applications
oh, really?
From home. And yeah, I'm a person that I always have 1,000 different little jobs going on that amount to like a full-time job in addition to being a quote stay-at-home mom. So it's just so funny because our lives are so
similar. It was a college fair and we didn't know it.
Yes, totally.
I was in for the Minnesota school.
Oh my gosh, this is so funny. Well, did
you might have been right next to each other?
Well, exactly. Well, I liked how you pointed out how okay, so once those systems started working, then you said, okay, it needs to be tweaked again because now you're going back to work. Was that hard for you to adapt with each new season and each new set of circumstances that like forced you to adapt the way that you approached cleaning or approached your family and your balancing and your juggling and everything? Was that hard for you? Because you seem like a very type A type person, just like I am, like a lot of our listeners. Sometimes it's hard to want to tweak something or even like flip something on its head that's going well for you, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it's, and I am, definitely type A.
I mean that in a good way.
I mean, for someone that's as artistic, like,
yeah,
I love
creative
and being artistic. That's not usually a type A person. So I've definitely struggled, like an internal struggle.
Yeah, right, right.
with that. But I think that the once I kind of finally gave in to the fact that no routine will work forever.
Mm.
For everyone in every situation. And as soon as you think it's working, something will change and you will need to adapt.
Right.
And, you know, it's, I mean, it can be as simple as, you know, everyone, like last week I was sick. I had a cold. I didn't feel like doing much. And I just said, forget it. I'm not going to worry about cleaning my bathrooms or whatever. The, you know, it was like 3 days where I just didn't feel like doing it. And then once I felt better, I got completely caught up on this past Monday when my little guy was in preschool and I'm ready to go. So,
right.
And I didn't even use my catch-up day because I was sick on my catch-up day, but I had to start the week off right and get caught up. And, you know, now we're smooth sailing. And I know that because I've set systems in place and because I'm not letting it go for months on end.
Right.
That is super easy just to jump right back in and catch up.
Totally.
But I think that that's the hard part for me was just kind of trying to figure out how routine could be adaptable for so many different schedules and different needs and people and everything. So.
Yeah. And so by following your Instagram, Clean Mama, you put out just a little square box every day in the morning saying today is your clean the bathrooms day. Today is your dusting day. Today is your clean the kitchen day. And you've broken it up in these bite-sized chunks and it's the same every single week. And you're and you're saying that these tasks should take us 10 to what? 20, 30 minutes?
Yeah, that, I mean, and it depends because I think what people get caught up with sometimes is like for my bathroom cleaning routine, I have 4 bathrooms, so which is insane.
Yeah.
But the routine that I have, you can get all your bathrooms completely clean except for washing the floors in a 15-minute increment or time period. And it might take you 30 minutes the first week you do it because you've got junk all over the counters or you haven't cleaned the toilets in a month or whatever.
Sure.
But if you continue to do that every week, it will guaranteed take you like 10 to 15 minutes. It's so simple, but it's the maintenance that I think that people have a really hard time with is like, and you have to realize that cleaning, you always have to clean.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't be like, oh, my house is clean. I'm going to go take a nap for a week. I mean, you can't.
Yeah, right.
It's like you have to set some systems on autopilot and just do them because if you're not doing them or if you're not delegating it to someone else in your household, it's not going to get done. And then, there's a lot of anxiety and overwhelming feelings that can be associated directly with living in a cluttered house or your house not being clean. So,
right.
It's worth it to spend the time to figure out how to get these things accomplished and done and stop. I don't know. My thing with the Instagram, for instance, is that, like, you could sit and scroll at Instagram for 30 minutes.
Easy, yeah.
And click on links and check things out, and then you could get your links emailed to you, and then you can shop. And, you know, there's so many things that you can get caught up with in that one little Instagram. And then I have people that will complain, like, well, that took too long, or what? 10 minutes to do this, or I don't have time to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you just sat for 30 minutes.
Right.
On your phone. So, and I'm guilty of it too. And I've had to pare things back just so that I can stay focused on what I need to do, because those things, you know, like the bathrooms need to get cleaned at some point, and the floors should be vacuumed, and because I'm happier if the house is neat and tidy, and it's easier for everyone to find things, and it makes things just run smoother all the way around. So
I agree. And I think having a messy, dirty house is as physically annoying as it is mentally stressful. I mean, when there's clutter everywhere and I know that I'm going into the bathroom and it hasn't been cleaned in a week or two or three or, you know, whatever, and it just gets away from you. Or if I'm stepping on Cheerios smushed in the carpet. I mean, I just had this last night. We have this, like, it's kind of a darker brown tan carpet, but it makes it so that if there's a granola bar smashed into your carpet, you don't really notice it very much because it's like the color of granola bar. And so it's good because I don't just notice crumbs everywhere, but then it's bad when I step and then I have granola bar crumbs on my feet, right? And so just last night, I'm thinking, how many times have I stepped on the granola bar when I should just vacuum it? You know, like, why don't I just clean it up? And so we all have those times in our life where it's just like, it gets away from us. And so being able to be mentally more freed up and at peace, as well as the physical space looking good and feeling good, I think those go hand in hand with just our overall peace in our life.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's, they're directly associated, and it makes a big difference.
Sure. Absolutely. And so, okay, how did this become a business for you? Did it start just being a casual blogger, or did companies reach out to you? How did this become a business? Like you said, you cleaned homes before and everything, and you were always passionate about cleaning. How did this thing take off?
Well, it started with printables.
Okay.
Because back all the way up, I did not want to start a blog at all. Mm-hmm. And I started selling, so this is in 2009, I started selling an MLM cleaning product. So I tried that. It did okay. But I really didn't like selling someone else's product. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the thing that kind of propelled me to start something else. So then I started selling printables. And in 2009, there weren't any homekeeping printables on Etsy. Mm-hmm. I actually had this little teeny tiny website on Etsy a shop on Etsy that I was selling these darling little vintage postcards, and then I hand-painted frames. And so I had this little shop, and I was trying to make money with that because we needed to supplement our income at this point. So that's how it started. It was just needing more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you think back to 2009, it was the crash, and it directly affected our family. So that was kind of how, like, we were just like, well, I should probably figure something out. I don't want to go back to work. How am I going to do this? So I started selling printables. No one was doing it. And truth be told, my husband actually thought it was a ridiculous idea. He's like, how are you going to sell something that you're not even exchanging a product because it's all digital? Like, I don't understand how this would even work. And it's true. Like, if you think about it, it is completely crazy that the printable market actually, you know, how it all started, because it isn't an actual good. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to ship anything. I didn't, you know, it was all digital. And that, I have over 50,000 Etsy sales. I have more than that in, like, just sales off my website, like, actual products. So that went, like, crazy. And
you showed him.
I know, right?
He's like, okay, yeah, you keep going with that printable thing. That sounds
good. Like, well, maybe it does make sense. Okay.
Yeah, I like this. Yeah.
And so that's how it started, was with the printables. And then in 2013, publisher approached me and asked if I'd be interested in writing a book about cleaning recipes, because I had just started sharing some of my favorite recipes on my site. They saw it. We struck a deal. I quit my job at that point. That was a blessing for sure that I was able to go like full time for myself, self-employment, and write the book. It's The Organically Clean Home. And it so in that kind of, I think, propelled my site and gave me a little bit of a different angle of recognition. And all along, I've always wanted to sell my own products. So, yeah. Like actual products. So I approached quite a few companies and no one was interested.
Oh, so deflating.
Right. So I just decided to figure it out on my own.
Yeah, good for you.
And so I came up with my own products. And so now I sell the printables and I also sell some cleaning products as well that I'm really proud of.
That's amazing. Oh, good for you. I love that you didn't just accept that no. You're like, okay, well, it's a no from you, but that doesn't mean it's going to stop my dream or stop the momentum. You just find another avenue, which I just love.
Yeah.
So do you use most... Well,
no one wanted... Maybe I approached the wrong people or it was the wrong timing or, you know, whatever. I think it was more fortuitous that I actually was able to do it just by myself, because then... cut other things out.
Yeah.
It's easier.
That's amazing. So do you use most of your own cleaning products using your own recipes, or do you go to Target and buy cleaning supplies?
I do both.
Okay.
On my website, I have both listed, because not everyone wants to make their own cleaning products. So like sometimes I'll make my own floor cleaner. Other times I'll use my Bona mop. Sometimes I'll, mix up. I always use my own granite cleaner. That's all I use. But sometimes I'll use like a commercial scrub for the bathtub or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's also a part of like testing products, because I do like to share my favorites with readers so that they have ideas too. But my main thing is that the products are natural and non-toxic.
And I think mainstream companies are trying to go more that way, but I think they're still hiding stuff in there, right? So we have to be careful and read those labels, especially when you have little kids that have their hands on everything, and then their hands are in their mouths, and, you know, it's just, you got to kind of be careful with those things. Okay.
Well, and it's greenwashing.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, they make it look like it's green, but it really isn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Becky, when I was growing up, I never had that many chores. I mean, I would like vacuum a little bit and, you know, clean the bathroom a little bit, but I was like never trained or instructed how to do these things well. And so now in adulthood, I feel like I've kind of missed the boat on really being able to clean my home in a way that I like take pride in what I'm doing. Like, I feel like I'm just always kind of, I don't know, doing the best I can, but it's never actually that good. Like when I clean the floors, it's always just kind of a quick job, but it never feels truly clean, like when you walk into somebody's home that was professionally cleaned, you're like, whoa, this is different. Can you just give me a few basic tips, maybe for the main rooms in the home, where you'd be able to sit, like, make a difference in one of those tasks to help me?
Yeah. Well, the main thing is kind of using a method so you're not, like, going back and having to clean the same thing twice.
Sure.
For instance, if you're dusting, you want to dust first and then vacuum, because if you vacuum and then dust, you're going to break, you know, you're going to shake up all that dust and then it's going to be all over everything.
Sure.
So kind of thinking about it like that, like anytime you walk into a room and if you're going to clean that room, think top to bottom, left to right.
Okay.
And you only want to have to cover each space one time. You don't want to have to retrace your steps, because it's going to make you less efficient and you're going to have to work harder.
Yeah.
I think also having the right tools is really important. So making sure that what you're using actually works. You probably need less products than you think you do. And, it kind of depends on if you want to wash your tools. So, like, I love microfiber cloths because they... I think they do like a much better job cleaning, because they pick up all those teeny tiny particles.
Yeah.
That a paper towel will miss, or if you're using a paper towel, it's going to actually create more dust for you. Or a certain kind of a cotton cloth might still leave lint on surfaces, whereas a microfiber cloth is going to remove it completely. So making sure that that's, you've got those, like, the best tools possible. I think that that's really helpful. And, like, if, for instance, for floor washing, if you're feeling like your floor isn't clean, you should always vacuum first and then wash the floor. And then if your floors still aren't clean, you might need to change what you're washing them with. Mm-hmm. Or even I found, like, if you're using, like, a microfiber mop head or any kind of a mop head, whether it's the old-fashioned sponge type that you squeeze out, making sure you're rinsing it a lot.
Sure, and you're not just spreading the dirt.
So that you're not bringing that dirt right back over
on
those floors. I think that that's something that's commonly done, or you'll see, like, a little bit of a film or a residue over your floors after you've just mopped them.
Yeah.
So either your water is not clean, you could have hard water that's not helping.
Yeah.
Then, and if you do, then you probably want to use, like, a premix cleaner if it's just continually putting a film back on your floors.
Those are some great tips. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about, well, sometimes when I'm like, I will have just swept the floor, like, underneath the table, but then I go to clean the table on the top and then more crumbs are falling off and I'm like, I just swept, what am I doing? Well, if I had just done the top first, that would have saved me and I wouldn't have to redo what I just did. Becky, come on. Jessica, come on. So you're exactly right. Okay, so what role do your kids play in helping you? You're doing your 10 to 30 minutes a day in your little zones. Yeah. What do you make your kids do?
Well, they do a lot.
Okay. I want to hear everything.
Okay. Well, my littlest guy, he's 5 and not quite as, I don't know what the best word, he's not quite as into it as the other two were at that age. So he works better for, he's motivated by, if you get all your Legos picked up, then we'll go outside, or then you can go and do this. Like, he needs, like, an, if you do this, then you get this. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking, like, prizes, but, like, like, pulling back the activity. Like, nope, as soon as you're done, your Legos are picked up, then you get to move on to the next thing.
So sure.
I have to be really cognizant with him about that. Whereas my other two were, like, you'd say, oh, go pick that up. Okay. And then by the time they were his age, they didn't really forget.
they
knew that once they were done with one activity, then they had to put it away, and then they could take out another activity. So I'm a big believer in baskets. So, like, toys go in specific baskets. They're not labeled or anything, but they go in baskets, and then that way it's like a one in, one out sort of a mentality, hopefully, for them. My older two do their laundry. So once their baskets are filled up, they'll bring it down, they'll start the load, and then they'll put it in the dryer, and then they dry it. Sometimes, like today, I know my daughter has a basket from last night that's dry in her room in the basket, and when she gets home from school after her homework, she'll do that before she goes to her sports practice.
Okay.
So it's just, they know, and some days they don't get the entire basket done, but they both can, I mean, both of my, the 11-year-old and 9-year-old, they are, like, totally independent in the laundry, and I'll usually give them, like, a day before I, like, hey, you got to do that.
Yeah.
Because I know that they know, but sometimes, I mean, I would never have them do their laundry before their homework or
skip
something that's important to them, you know, and make them do their laundry, because that would just be mean. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think we definitely,
laundry,
as moms, we give ourselves a grace period. Like, we know, oh, we're going to get to the laundry later in the day. Now's not a good time, you know. But I think sometimes we put these limitations on our kids. Like, you need to clean up your room now. We need to, you know, have you clean the bathroom now. But if they're not really in a good mental space, or maybe they're in the middle of something that they're really excited about, and making them stop what they're doing to do something now just because you want it done, it's not really communicating with them in the very best way, because if somebody told us to drop everything that we're doing right this second to do something else that maybe we were not excited about doing anyway, yeah, it's not really a reasonable way to approach that. But I like what you said, like, before you go outside, you're going to need to finish the laundry. Or before, you know, you get out the train tracks, you're going to need to clean up the Legos. Yeah. So they have that window, but it's not like putting a time limit and you're not being all militaristic about it, but you are setting the expectations so that it doesn't get out of control, but you're giving them that wiggle room to be independent. And I think that's really right. important. And I'm not always good at that. And so it's a great reminder.
Well, and like, if I've been home all day and I'm staring at the laundry basket or,
yeah,
you know, whatever, like, it's been bothering me all day, but they've been at school. Like, right. I have to loosen up on
that's
that.
True.
And I will pull their laundry basket. If it's dry, I'll put their stuff in the laundry basket and I'll push it in their room. And then they know it's there. I usually don't have to
That's
say anything
great.
To them, except for, and then the 5-year-old, I'll have him like put his underwear in his drawer, or put his socks away, or, you know, like, yeah, I'll give him like little jobs as I'm working on, you know, it for him, but he's not anywhere near ready to hang up his clothes. And
yeah,
I mean, he could put his pants in the pants drawer, but it would be like,
right, shoving it
in there.
Yeah, no, definitely. With your older children, did you first train them on certain jobs, or how much explicit instruction did you give before setting them off to do it on their own independently?
Well, I always will do the chores with them, or sure, they would accompany me mm-hmm. as I was cleaning. Like, and I've always tried to make it just as kind of, it's just one of those things that we do. It's not like, oh, I got to pull out the, you know, the vacuum and I got to do this. And I've never complained about it, because I think that that's the wrong approach, because I have to clean because they're here.
Yeah, right.
And because we live in this home and we live here together and we love it and it's, you know, a wonderful space. And I'm not like complaining about the cleaning or the mess that they made or any of those things. It kind of takes away from like the joy of life mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. we're all in this together. And yeah, that mess really, you know, ticks me off, but like, hey, we had fun, right?
Right.
I know you had fun making that mess, or I don't know. I kind of try to kind of take them along on it with me. So like, if I was washing the floors, I, you know, give them a cloth or something so they could dry behind, you know, dry the floors up behind me,
sure,
or step on the, when they were little, you know, like little, like step on it and kind of, you know, see if they could dry it, and, you know, just kind of trying to make it a little bit more fun. You know, there's definitely some things, like, I'm not going to invite them to clean the toilets with me at 3 years old or anything yeah. like that, but I have always had cleaning caddies in the bathrooms, and when they would be taking baths, I would clean the sinks. And
I just started doing that.
And
yes.
I mean, of course, you always have to use the disclaimer, like,
watch your babies
always well
and children.
I
yeah.
never turn my back, you know, all those things. And I did
right.
not clean the tub while they were in it.
Yeah, right.
But it's, I mean, if they're, you know, 2-3 years old and just playing with their toys in the bathtub and I'm like 2 feet away wiping down the sinks and cleaning the mirrors, I mean, shoot, it's great because
yes.
they're contained.
Yes.
I'm getting something done and, you know, everyone's happy. So
yes, totally. And sometimes I'll clean the shower, like the shower walls and stuff, while I'm in the shower, because I hate
yes,
getting all
that,
sweaty
too.
And, you know, bringing my either bare feet on the wet floors, you know, afterwards once I'm dressed and everything. And that's just so annoying. So if I just bring the cleaner in with me and change the nozzle so that it's not hitting that wall and I just clean it, then, you know, I don't feel like I'm getting re-dirty after I clean that. So I like doing that as well.
Yeah, I do that too. The stand-up showers, I mean, they're great, but they are a beast.
They are. It's a lot of surface area, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of listeners that have young children. And so, like you said, if you're mopping the floors, having your little one have a towel behind you to dry, that's a great task for them. Is there any other tasks you can think of off the top of your head that are great for those young ones where you're just introducing them to having this culture of taking care of your home?
Mm-hmm. Baby wipes.
Oh, great.
I mean, I always had, I still do, like a little thing of baby wipes in the cleaning caddy, and I would have them. We have white woodwork, so wipe down doors, wipe the baseboards with a baby wipe, doorknobs. You can say, hey, go and wipe all the doorknobs in the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, they run around and wipe all the doorknobs. Now, and it's not creating a job for them because they're actually contributing to getting something done. So,
yeah. I like that. Because sometimes.
And then making beds, too. I mean, my kids have always had to make their beds, but I don't do like the big elaborate sheets or anything. We use like just a quilt or a duvet cover and no sheets on the top, like as the flat sheet, and I just make sure it's washable, and that gets washed every week with the sheets, and then that way they can just pull that up and put their pillows on, and they're good. So
that's awesome. Do you have any tips for bunk beds? My boys have bunk beds, and it's so hard to do that top bunk.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I would definitely not have a top sheet.
Yeah.
You know, just a fitted sheet and then a quilt or something, and then have them like pretend like they're going back to bed and pull the sheet up and then squeeze out the top.
Right.
I mean, that's the only thing I would.
Kind of fun, right? Yeah. Right? That's amazing. That's amazing. And so for the kids that, like you said, your youngest does not, you know, hup to quite as easily as your older two with these jobs. What are your advice for parents who have kids that are just really resistant to wanting to contribute to keeping the home clean?
Just trying to make it fun, like figuring out what works for them. So whether it's like a marble jar and they get ice cream when the jar is filled up, or, you know, you get to have a date or whatever. If they're into the quality time with you, then have them help you. But saying, oh, you got to clean this, or, oh, you have to do this. It's not as, it's not as much fun for them.
Yeah.
You got to kind of trick them and figure out what works for each kid, and give them grace and patience for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And really working with their love language, right? So it's like, do they really appreciate time with you? Do they want more screen time? Do they want, you know, to earn stickers on a sticker chart so that they're working towards something? Every child is different with what their currency is, right? And we have to figure that out for each individual child. And that could be hard, but it's worth it once you figure it out for sure.
Yes. Yeah. And my older two kids have checklists in their rooms, and it's not like before school, you have to do this, and so they have to read that, and then after school, you have to do this before you get to do screen time or iPod or iPad or whatever they want to do.
That's great.
But I do
that.
Limit that, too. I mean, I'm like, 20 to 30 minutes, especially on a school night. I mean, we usually don't even have time to do anything.
I know. It's so crazy as they get older. I know. My kids are still young. I'm not quite to that stage where homework and activities have taken over our life, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
Gosh. Well, all of your resources are amazing on your cleanmama.com website. And so I'll link to that in the show notes at extraordinarymomspodcast.com. And so that they can see all your printables and all your resources and everything. But then you also have this monthly subscription service. What is that about, Becky?
Well, it's called Homekeeping Society. And I found that I had a lot of readers that liked my printables, but they wanted something like every month. So it's basically, it ranges between 15 and 17 documents that you get as printables, or I also have it part of the subscription. You can have it sent to you. And it's calendars for the month. It's a cleaning calendar, cleaning tips, and Darling to-do lists every month, and just different ways to kind of make those like boring, mundane household chores a little bit more fun. And I feel like I say that it's like my hand-holding resource because it's more conversational in the approach, and very specific. Each month I also have a monthly focus as well, which I don't share on the blog at all. So if you are the kind of person that likes to like focus on one room for the whole month, it's perfect for you. So, or like one task, like March is going to be spring cleaning. So that's what the focus is for March. And so that's kind of where you're going to focus your time any extra time that you might have during the month for cleaning. So
that's great. And for people that may, you know, have approached this new year in 2017 with a focus on like, we're going to get our house in order, we're going to really buckle down, and this is one of your values, that might be a great way to get a little more hand-holding, like you said, in order to really make some actionable change and some productive. And it's funny that you said that, you know, any way to like make it more fun for you. And like we just said, that's what we do for our kids. Like that's how we incentivize them. It truly is the same for adults. Like, okay, if you know that there's like a piece of chocolate at the end of this task, then you will do it. Or if you know that if you do this, then this happens. It's, we're just all the same, isn't it? We're the same as our kids.
Exactly. If you needed to trick yourself into cleaning that toilet, here you go.
Yeah, find your currency as well. That is great. Becky, you're so awesome. Well, I'm just curious, now that you have grown this business and you've become an author and you've had all these different jobs, from working at Pottery Barn and being an art teacher to working at Target, and how has this changed your motherhood and the way that you view your role as a mom? How are you different now than you were when you first started out on this journey?
I'm more flexible for sure. Less rigid. I've realized that, things change. Mm-hmm. They can change in an instant. They can change over time. But I think that, the main thing for me is appreciating every day and, the time that we do have, and trying to, spend as little time cleaning and as much time with my family as I possibly can. And I would say that I've definitely loosened up my goals for an immaculate house, because I've realized that that's not really what matters, but having the tools and understanding what it takes to get that house clean most of the time works just fine for me.
That's great. Becky, you're so encouraging, and it makes me really excited to approach this aspect of my life with a lot more joy and just ease, that it doesn't have to be a burden. It doesn't have to be something that I approach with drudgery and overwhelm, but it can be something that I implement manageably just a little bit every day. And especially if I'm approaching it with my kids with a better attitude, I know that can make a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely, you kind of have to switch the way that you're thinking and your framework a little bit, and it's much more enjoyable when you loosen up.
I'm excited for that. Well, Becky, I always ask my guests one final question, and it's this: what would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Oh, that's a good one. It's better than you think it will be, and I was really excited to be a mom, and it's even better than I ever anticipated. So and it's different than I thought it would be, too. I mean, I thought I would be at home and, you know, doting on them 100%. And I still am, but it's different. And I think it's healthier the way that it is. So
I love it. That's great. Becky, will you just share quickly all the resources and where people can find you online if they want to follow along?
Yes, absolutely. So my website is Clean Mama, and you can find it on www.cleanmama.net. Everything that I have is on there as well. I have printables. I have a shop where I sell my home goods, and that's called Clean Mama Home. I've got Homekeeping Society, and I also have a brand new book coming out March 21st. It's called Simply Clean.
Congratulations!
That's coming. So March 21st, that'll be released. You can pre-order it now. I do have lots of resources on my site, too, for bonuses for that as well. So you should be able to find it pretty easily. Hopefully
great.
Hopefully I made it obvious.
Great.
Enough. But in my book, I talk a lot about coming up with a routine that works for you, but using my methods as your framework.
Wonderful. Oh, that is so great.
On social media, I'm Clean Mama on everything except for Twitter. It's Clean Mama Blog.
Okay.
But everything else is Clean Mama. So.
Yeah, and I would definitely highly recommend that Instagram, because it just gives you, even if you don't do what you're telling me to do, at least it's like in my mind, like, okay, if today's if I can just do one of my four bathrooms, or if I can just vacuum two rooms, like, Clean Mom is going to be super proud of me. So
I will.
I feel you cheering me on, Becky, and I really appreciate what you're putting out there. I think it's such a valuable resource for people, and it really just helps kind of lighten up a topic that's not always as fun to everybody. Not everybody's as passionate about cleaning as maybe you are, but I think we can get there with just the way that we shift our perspective. So thank you. Thank you for sharing these tips and your motherhood journey. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thanks, Jessica.
Have an awesome day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye. I want to thank Becky for being on the show today. Follow her on Instagram, you guys, at Clean Mama on Instagram. And you can follow me on Instagram at Jessica Dahlquist 3, on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast, and on our website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com. I'm going to link to all of Becky's resources, including her new book that comes out today, you guys. So I'll provide a link to how you can purchase that book and get all of her great tips for coming up with systems that would work for your season of life. Thanks so much, Becky, for sharing these tips. I'm almost excited to go clean my bathroom today. Almost. And I know a lot of you listen while cleaning your house, and I just want to thank you for letting me be a companion in your kitchen or while you're folding laundry. I love being with you, and I love encouraging you with these stories as you do your daily tasks. So whether you're driving carpool or you are doing some household cleaning, thanks for bringing me along. It really means so much. I love it when you share this podcast with friends. I love it when you leave ratings and reviews. I love it when you email me. If you have an episode that really has resonated with you, or if you want to share a story with me about your own life or somebody that you know that you think that I should interview, I'm always looking for new guests and new content. So you can email me, jessica@extraordinarymomspodcast.com. I love hearing from all you listeners. It makes my day when I get an email from one of you guys. So don't hesitate if you've been wanting to reach out. Have an awesome day, everybody. I'm excited for this week ahead, and I hope you have an awesome week. And I'll see you next week for another episode with another Extraordinary Mom. Bye.